Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, although the historic gospel reading for Easter Sunday is from Mark chapter 16, I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about the resurrection account in Matthew chapter 28, because that's just the kind of guy I am. Right, now, it says in our text here, at the end of the Sabbath, as it was beginning to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Right? Now, the outstanding detail in Matthew's gospel is that the descent of the angel of the Lord is accompanied by a great earthquake. So, the angel comes down not to let Jesus out of the tomb. All right, he doesn't pull back the stone so that Jesus can get out of the tomb. Jesus is already risen and he has already left the tomb. He pulls back the stone and lays it down as a testimony that Jesus is risen. And the presence of this glorious angel of God strikes abject terror into the hearts of the guards who were standing by the tomb, and also of the women. And despite the fact that he urges the faithful women to not be afraid, when he is done telling them of the resurrection of Jesus, Matthew says that they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. You know, that initial experience of hearing that God has reversed the big tragedy of your life, and that suddenly there is hope in the midst of seeming despair. It's a shocking thing. And so it was first accompanied by despairing sorrow and fear at the announcement of the resurrection. But then, as the realization begins to dawn and the memory begins to jog, and Jesus talked about this. He said he would rise again the third day. And then fear gives way to great joy. Now, in the light of the fact that the angel's descent is accompanied by an earthquake, I'd like to once again draw your attention back to the death of Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 that Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So Jesus died upon the cross. And now, the text of St. Matthew tells us of three miracles that happened to accompany the death of Christ. First, there was the veil of the temple was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. That's miracle number one, and it happens at the moment of Jesus' death. Miracle number two, which happens at the moment of Jesus' death, the earth did quake and the rocks split. And the third miracle that takes place is the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. All right? So we have three miracles, and these three miracles, they kind of portentously anticipate the good news of Easter Sunday. All right? Jesus dies, and everybody who is his enemy thinks they've gotten rid of him. We're done with that troublemaker. But when he dies, a curious thing happens. The veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple splits in half from the top to the bottom. Now, I've got to explain this. The temple proper was divided up into two chambers. The outer chamber, where the priest would go every day to offer incense and to put blood on the altar of incense and to burn incense and to pray for the people. And this would happen every day. Priests would go in to the holy place. But there was the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, where the sacred throne of God's grace was, the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat over the top. And no one ever was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies. Nobody, with no exceptions, was to ever go in there except the high priest and him once a year. On the Day of Atonement, carrying the blood to cover his own sins and the sins of the people, he would go into the Holy of Holies and pour the sacrificial blood on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant. So the veil, and this veil was not a flimsy little, you know, like the Dance of the Seven Veils. It was not a flimsy little veil. The veil was 4 inches thick. All right, that's how heavy it was. It was like a curtain, the likes of which you have never seen. All right, and that veil hung there and barred the way of entrance to the Holy of Holies, signifying that under the Old Covenant, access to God is not available for the average person. Only the high priest, and only once a year, and not without sacrificial blood. So the doorway to God's grace was not yet revealed and open. So when Jesus dies on the cross, the hand of God, as it were, reaches into the temple and tears the veil in half from the top to the bottom. And this is God's message to us, that the door of access to the presence of God is now open to everyone because of the blood, suffering, and death of Jesus. And the resurrection of Christ from the dead on Easter Sunday morning confirms and proves that this is the case. That's what the resurrection does. The resurrection testifies to the world and says, you see that veil that was ripped in two from the top to the bottom? That means that you, sinner though you are, you now have access to God His grace, His mercy, and His loving kindness. He accepts you, though you don't deserve it. He fully accepts you as His child, and you have access to the throne of grace because Jesus paid the price for you, and He is risen from the dead, and His resurrection confirms this truth, and it proves it to be so. All right. Now we move on to the second miracle. The second miracle, it says that at the death of Jesus, the earth did quake and the rocks ripped. They were split. All right. Now, in order to understand this, you got to go to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, whenever God shows up and manifests Himself, it is almost always accompanied by earthquakes and shaking and the splitting of rocks. In other words, it becomes very obvious that God has showed up. And the greatest example of this is Mount Sinai, when God commanded Moses to gather the people around the bottom of Mount Sinai, and God came down and rested upon the Mount Sinai, and the Bible tells us that Mount Sinai was all a smoke with the glory of God. It blazed with fire from the glory of God, and the earth quaked. All right, and this was the sign of the presence of God. Now, in the case of the Israelites of old, His presence, though it was frightening to behold, it was a gracious presence, and He gave them His Torah. All right, the Ten Commandments. And the people of Israel heard the voice of God Himself tell them the Ten Commandments. And when they heard God speak these words, what they did was they turned and ran and got as far away from Mount Sinai as they could get. And when the whole thing was over, they sent a delegation to Moses, and they said, "Don't let God talk to us anymore, because if He says one more word, we will simply die." And God says to Moses, "You know, they're right. They're right. They've spoken well. So what I will do is I will raise up a prophet, and I will put my words in your mouth, and you will bring them word, so that they will not hear the all-consuming voice of my glory and expire under the power of my majesty." All right? So you get the idea. In the Old Testament, earthquakes and such physical upheavals are portents of the presence of God. So, Jesus begins His time on the cross by saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And when Jesus closes His eyes in death, remember, He gave two words of victory before He died. First of all, He said, "It is finished." The work of redemption that God had sent Him to do for us has been done. And then lastly, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. And the Bible says that there was a great earthquake. Right? That earthquake is a testimony that God was present at the death of Jesus. And God's presence at the death of Jesus is a twofold presence. Number one, It is a gracious presence for everyone who believes in Him. God's presence in our life is a gracious, merciful presence. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. But for those who mocked Him and spit upon Him and despised Him and rejected Him, His presence is a wrathful portent of the last day when Christ will return in glory and the world of unbelievers will cower and pray that the rocks and the mountains will fall upon them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. So the presence of God at the death of Jesus is a gracious presence for the penitent believer, but a wrathful judging presence for those who persist in sin and persist in impenitence. So we see that the second miracle is a testimony to the presence of God. God had not abandoned Jesus, had not forsaken Jesus, but that God's work had been seen through to the end, and God was well pleased with His sacrifice, and the resurrection of the dead on Easter Sunday confirms this and proves it to be so. Third miracle. This miracle is a little mysterious. Alright? It says in verse 52, it says, "The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." All right, so what happens here is this. At the death of Jesus, many of the graves, you know, like we have Grant's tomb down in New York City, and we have the tombs of famous people all over the land. Well, as a result of the earthquakes, these tombs were cracked open. All right? And the Bible tells us here that the bodies of the saints which slept arose. At the death of Jesus, some Old Testament saints who were buried in and around Jerusalem, they rose bodily from the dead, and they came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. So the death of Christ causes a resurrection among a certain chosen group of those Old Testament believers who had trusted in the Messiah and died. These people, in connection with Christ's resurrection, they come out of their graves and go into Jerusalem, and they appear to certain people. And their resurrection and their appearance to many is a testimony to the fact that Christ has won resurrection from the dead for every believer in His death on the cross, and that His resurrection is the first fruits of the dead. You know, Christ is called the first fruits from among the dead. That is, He is the first one to bodily rise from the dead. And in connection with His resurrection, these Old Testament saints, not all the saints of the Old Testament, but a certain few of them, bodily rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, and they came out of their tombs, went into Jerusalem, and appeared to people as a testimony to Christ's resurrection. And so, when we see that Christ's death on the cross causes graves to open and the dead to rise, and then it is announced that He is risen from the dead, and then after it is announced that He is risen from the dead, Old Testament saints rise bodily and come into the city and appear to people. This is a powerful testimony for us that because Jesus really lives, we shall live also. And death and everything else, none of it can keep us and separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the resurrection of Jesus from the dead testifies, confirms, and proves this to be so. So that now, as a result of the resurrection of Christ and the preaching of the crucified and risen Lord, we are able to take comfort in the fact that the door to the presence of God's grace is open for us now, and that God is graciously present in our lives because of the death of His Son. And finally, that our death is not the last word about us, just like Jesus' death was not the last word about Him. But as He rose from the dead, and as His resurrection drew a trail of others from the Old Testament up from their graves and rising from the dead, so on the last day He will raise up us also. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.